Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and now open in Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Yeah, daily ticker time here on 105.1 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you on a Tuesday. Get the mail sack questions in to 503-864-6326. But the daily ticker brought to you on The Fan by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Five new coastal locations, my man.
That's right. New ones open up.
Rockaway Beach, the newest location to the family. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, and Lincoln City, obviously there. And again, five coastal locations taking over Oregon's coast. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Our good friend Jake Butt's going to join us right now here for the Daily Ticker on Twitter at JBooty88. Big Ten Network. We enjoy talking college football with him. Jake, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us. I want to start with this. What is the Halloween candy bar that Jake Butt has to keep away from him, otherwise he'll eat all of them?
Well, first off, good morning to you guys. It's been great to build this friendship over this season. So excited to break it all down with you. Man, all the candy bars, though, really, that is like my guilty pleasure. I tell my wife, like, we can't even have it in the house. Hide it from me if that's the case. I love Twix, though. Twix is Twix is my go-to.
This is third date. This we're getting serious now, Jake. Third date is all of a sudden like, you know, we're having conversations.
This is second base interview time.
Yeah, happening after this interview? I kind of want to know where we're going to go from here. I'm very excited. I think it's a blossoming relationship. Let's get to the game you called on Saturday night. Oregon going on the road at Rutgers. That was one for some Duck fans like, hey, 3,000 miles away, tough loss to Indiana. Look what happened to Penn State. Is that going to be our future? I think Oregon quieted that pretty quickly. What was your takeaway from just being, you know, the interactions you had with the team going into the game and then the aftermath of a blowout win at Rutgers?
Well, yeah, you know, I think everybody expected Oregon to win and then not, you know, ever sweat in the game. But, you know, those long road trips, especially coming off a physical game and a physical loss to Indiana, a lot of teams have started slow. They've, like, struggled to start fast. You know, you're kind of getting your – it's almost like getting your sea legs after that long plane ride. And Dan decided to take the team in the night before, right? So they landed on Friday where, you know, that's been another storyline is a lot of coaches haven't been able to figure out when they even want to travel. So Dan doesn't overthink it. He's a master motivator, takes them in Friday and says, we are the Oregon Ducks. They have to adjust to us. And then they go ahead and put it on tape, starting fast from the very first play. I know they had the fumble initially, but that was just like a little tick bite or something, nothing crazy. And, you know, I feel bad for Rutgers because, you know, there was nothing they could do. They just happened to be the next team in the way as Oregon was looking to send a message to the rest of college football that the team we saw against Indiana is not who they are. Dante Moore played his best game of the season. The offensive line was absolutely dominant. It sounded like gunshots going off in the stadium when they were doing those crack pole plays and you get their linemen and fullbacks you know, with the running start, just popping the Rutgers linebackers and secondary. So just answered every question. I didn't really have any questions after the Indiana game. All that was a tough loss to a really good team. Clean yourself off and move on. I didn't have any questions, but if anyone did, they were answered against Rutgers.
What have you made of all the coaching craziness? It's not that it's new to us that coaches are getting fired and buyouts are happening, but I'm just curious what you make of it. I equated it earlier to college football is experiencing a real moment. It's the second biggest sport in America, and yet I think the coaching stuff operates the way the NBA trade stuff does. It's just constant conversation of who's getting traded into what team. That's kind of what college is, right? It's like, what coach is going to get fired because he's lost his first game this year? What do you make, Jake Butt, of the college football coaching landscape right now?
Well, it kind of just falls in just the theme of chaos. You know, what we love about college football is the unpredictability, is the chaos. This season has been it's been the most chaos that I can ever remember in a college football season. So it's fitting that we can say the same thing specifically about the coaching. And I think really what I make of it is I just look at where we're at in college football, and it's an arms race. It's a resource battle. But, you know, aside from the revenue share, it's fundraising. And you're going to your wealthiest alum and saying, hey, can you cut a check? No, unfortunately, it won't be a tax write-off for you. Can you cut a check for the love of the university and for your team? And those are big checks being cut, and with that comes high expectations. And if you aren't meeting those expectations, moves are going to have to be made. Otherwise, those checks will stop coming. So it's just kind of fitting for where we're at as a whole.
I wanted to ask you about your alma mater. They had a big win this weekend, and on both sides of that, I'm just curious, like, one of those coaches that all of a sudden was getting some chatter was Sharon Moore, the way they lost on the road at USC. And it was like, that didn't look like Michigan. We've always known them to be so good at the line of scrimmage. It didn't go well for them out on the West Coast. They bounced back with a big win. Just your thoughts on what that meant for Sharon Moore. And then on the other side of it, Washington is now dealing with this because Jed Fish's name is getting thrown out there for Florida or some other openings, of just where they're at and where they could go the rest of the season considering what their schedule looks like.
I felt that was the most important game of Sharon Moore's head coaching career because of the way they lost to USC. And, you know, going into the USC game, I felt that was the most – before the USC game, I looked at the schedule. I said, these next two games, on the road at USC and then hosting Washington, we're going to find out everything we need to know about this Michigan football team as far as the 2025 season goes. And to go on the road to USC, a team that's known for finesse, for throwing the ball, and to lose with the headlines being USC imposes their will and physically dominates Michigan, I was absolutely shocked. The team didn't look prepared to play. And all of a sudden, you know, if Michigan had beaten USC, they basically controlled their own destiny to the college football playoff. That's why that loss was so gut-wrenching. So Sharon Moore gets up there in the press conference after the game and says, listen, we didn't tackle well. We didn't call our best game. It's all fundamentals. It will be fixed this week. And I said, all right, let's give them a chance. Let's see, you know, okay, Sharon, you've earned the right for us to trust you. Let's give them a chance. And he was absolutely right. Now Michigan physically dominated Washington. You know, Damon Williams and Jonah Coleman had two forced missed tackles the entire day. Those guys are electric and hard to bring down. Michigan was constantly in great position. They didn't miss any tackles. They dominated the line of scrimmage with a backup running back and with an injured left tackle without their top two tight ends. Bryce Underwood, their freshman quarterback, played his best game of the season. So, you know, talk about a response, just like Oregon did on the road against Rutgers. Michigan with a critically important response against Washington.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guest is Jake Butt, our good friend here, former Michigan tight end, doing great work on the Big Ten Network on Twitter at JBooty88. You know, some people think that Ohio State might be the lone superior number one team, and then it's kind of everybody else. I don't know if I subscribe to that. I'm pretty curious to see how the playoff will eventually shake out and what the matchups will be, because I don't know if Ohio State's truly been tested. I don't look at Texas and really think much of them right now. I'm curious for you. Do you think that there's one top dog? Is there a couple, or do you think there really is, like, from one to maybe even 10, just a big lumping of teams that are going to have to figure out how we sort the chaos?
I do think that it's Ohio State and a gap. Now, whether it's a big gap or a small gap, I do believe there is a gap. It's Ohio State and then, sprinkle in Indiana. Alabama with Ty Simpson has looked great. I mean, you can kind of go down the list and start to list different teams. You know, Ohio State is, they're the defending national champs. And the big storyline this offseason was, you know, how are they going to replace the NFL talent? They are also replacing or were replacing both their coordinators. And what we've seen this year, at least in my opinion, the defense is better. I mean, Arvell Reese, their middle linebacker, that guy's a first round pick, in my opinion, a top 10 pick potentially. Caleb Downs is the best defensive player in all of college football. Obviously, you got the talented wide receivers. But the big thing that we've seen with Ohio State is their quarterback, Julian Sand, played his best game of the season last year. That's what I was waiting to see is, you know, it looked like they were maybe hesitant to trust him a little bit. It was conservative play calling. And then Sand goes out there and throws for nearly 400 yards, spreading the ball around to his weapons. That is just a complete and dominant football team. That doesn't mean that they're going to sleepwalk and guarantee themselves a national title, but it is going to be really, really tough to beat Ohio State because of how dominant their defense is and how multiple their offense is.
Well, and that opponent that they played this last weekend is the one that's in Eugene. And, there's not a lot to talk about with that game because Wisconsin's not very good and, Oregon can kind of pick their score. More from the angle of, like, you went to Michigan, obviously, you're a proud alum, and you follow university and all that. Let's change roles and say you're an alum of Wisconsin. How you feeling right now? Like, the AD comes out yesterday, it's like, no, we're going to recommit and financially support him, and they haven't scored a point in 2 weeks. They've scored a total of 10 points in 3 weeks. What do we make of what the hell has happened to Wisconsin, a program my entire life? It's been not a title contender year in and year out, but one of the more respected college football brands out there.
Oh man, if I was an alum, I would be pissed off, you know, and I would say there is a lesson for the rest of the Big Ten and college football as a whole. You know, it is risky. Look at Penn State. Your program is in a really, really great place, and then you chase that next level. There's a long way to fall, more so than there is a way to reach that next level, and that's what Wisconsin is experiencing right now, which is football hell. What sucks more than anything for them is I think teams can handle losing. I think teams can, you know, handle even a frustrating game here and there. But that program, the Wisconsin Badgers, they had a clear identity. Like, when you were playing Wisconsin, you knew that they were going to have a dominant defensive front. They were going to have a staple of running backs that is arguably running back university up there next to Alabama. And they were going to challenge your toughness on a week in, week out basis. I could not define Wisconsin football right now. I can't tell you what their identity is. I can't tell you what their strength is. Their weakness really is everything at this point. And that's the most frustrating part, is they're just caught in limbo. And I'd say what's really dangerous, and this is why I was shocked that the AD would come out there and say that, I think it'd be better for them to have a fan base that is really, really pissed off, rather than what their fan base is right now, which is really apathetic. Yeah. They're indifferent. They almost just don't care at all. That is a scary place to be.
I can tell you the identity. They suck. That's their identity, and they need to get out of that. But Big Ten Network, final one for you. Are you a Halloween guy? What was your favorite costume maybe you had in college?
Mm. Oh, Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the parties in college.
You did.
I got a pretty long neck. I'm like 6'6", but really I'm 6'3", just with a long neck. And so I wore a giraffe costume, and that was a smash hit for my teammates.
All right, that's great.
That's pretty solid. We just wrapped up our third date. Should we go? You want to go get some ice cream or something? Should we keep this thing going?
That would be great, guys. Yeah, I'll fly out there and meet you out there around 1 o'clock today.
Dude, let's go, you baby. Get out here, we'll take you, and we'll treat you nicely.
Hey,
what game are you
calling this weekend?
I have Illinois at Washington.
Ooh,
so a really, really big game for both of those teams.
Okay, excited, man. I didn't see the broadcast schedule last week, and then I turned on the Rutgers-Oregon game, and I'm like, look at that, Jake. Our guy Jake Butt's on the call. This is great. So can't wait till you call that one this weekend.
What time did you turn it on? Like, where was it at in the game? Was it the second half, first half?
No, it was before the game started. I was
as
a Duck alum, I was ready to rock and roll. We're nervous energy after a loss. We needed to wash that taste out of our mouth. I was dialed in 5 minutes before kickoff. We were ready.
Jake, do you ever thoughts during like 56-10 or whatever that score was, where you're like, let's talk about literally anything else?
Yeah, we prepare for these kind of things on a weekend. We know, hey, what are some storylines if this does get out of hand? What are we going to talk about? And, you know, thankfully for us, Oregon was chasing their all-time yards record. And I'm thinking at halftime, I'm like, man, I grew up watching Oregon. I think about all these historic offenses and explosive offenses that they had. And I took a second. I'm like, I'm in the booth for what might be Oregon's best offensive performance of all time. That is really, really cool. So we had the graphic going and we were chasing it. But, you know, Dan kind of took his foot off the gas there. You know, obviously late in the game, and they didn't end up getting it, but it was fun to cover it down the stretch.
See, that's why you're great at what you do. You still cared even at that point where I was kind of watching more USC Notre Dame because I'm like, well, they've blown out.
Yeah, I was right there with you, Jake. I need Brock Thomas highlights on tape, okay? I was locked in with you all the way to the end.
Jake Butt, Big Ten Network. He'll be on the call for Illinois Washington. That's a great football game
this weekend, yeah.
Have a great call. Thanks so much for hopping back on with us. Let's do this in a couple weeks and have our fourth date.
Cool. Sounds good, guys. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right, there we go. Jake Butt, Big Ten Network, Daily Ticker.
Enjoy it,
man. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.